You are listening to the one and only Visionaries Wrestling Network, envisioning excellence and providing your perfect podcast experience.
Hey guys, welcome to Chris Talks Games, and today's going to be a bit different one. It's not just going to be me talking about games, and I'm only going to be here for some of the episodes this time. It's going to be an interesting episode today. For a bit of background info, basically I've been doing crazy hours at work, and I'm actually currently away. I'm currently on the outskirts of Marbella in Spain. Here for a close family friend's wedding, so lots of stuff going on here. So I'm going to figure out some news and a couple of little bits, and then I'm going to put you in the trusty hands of Matt as he talks about Gears 5. So it's a game that I know is going to be quite big, Gears 5, but I don't know much about the series, haven't played much about it, so in terms of getting some coverage of the game, I'm going to let Matt give his thoughts and opinions of the game. So it's not going to be our usual kind of format. I'm not going to be me talking about games. I have had to call outside help, unfortunately. But here's a really good show. Just a little itinerary of what I'm planning to do next episode. As you know, we've been in game for a little while. This sort of marks the 20th anniversary of the Sega Dreamcast. The 9th of September saw the American release and I think Japanese release date. It was actually launched in Europe in October time. So October's 20th anniversary for us in the UK and in Europe. Next episode I am going to do my episode based on the Dreamcast, talk about what I loved about it, and look at some of the games I really enjoyed, many of which haven't been seen since. But that's my plans for the next episode. But first off, we're going to get into some news. Okay, so 4th of September saw Nintendo Direct. It's heavily rumoured there'd be a Direct from Nintendo in early September, and that came true. September Directs normally are quite big, and there were some big announcements, but I think some of the things they announced took people by surprise, or weren't exactly what people wanted, which is a bit of a shame. But many things have got announced. Overwatch, which had been heavily leaked due to the Switch case, it got leaked and then taken down on Amazon. That got confirmed for October 15th release. More news on what was formerly known as Town, which is now Little Town Hero. Town's a new game from Game Freak. Looks pretty cool. And they had Toby Fox, the guy behind Undertale. He's done a lot of the music for it, so that looks pretty cool. I didn't want Pokemon and Luigi's Mansion information. Luigi's Mansion looks great. Banjo-Kazooie Shadow Dropped, which was awesome. Really good to see that happen. I thought they might say it's coming soon and then do like a presentation, but they end up shadow dropping and having the presentation straight after the Direct, which is pretty cool. Alongside Banjo-Kazooie, they also released Home Run Contest finally, which is a great mode which I was really missing from the game. So to see Home Run Contest come in was really, really refreshing, and definitely filled a hole. I've had a few goes of it with different characters, and it's still a lot of fun. For those who don't know Smash Brothers and don't know what Home Run Contest is, pretty much it's a mode, and your aim is to launch a sandbag as far as you can. You've got about 10 seconds to beat the hell out of the sandbag, and a little baseball bat drops. So you have to beat it up, then just to get down to zero, hit it with a baseball bat and see how far you can send the sandbag flying. It is a lot of fun, a lot of challenging, and can be quite fizzy at times as well. So many times I've missed the bag with the baseball bat and things like that. So yeah, it's frustrating, but a lot of fun. They normally do have some big reveals at the September one, and the only real ones I had was Tokyo Mirage Sessions, which was a Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Tensei crossover game that released on the Wii U. That's been ported across. I think a lot of people were thinking it might be Pikmin 3 or Super Mario 3D World, something along those lines, but they went for Fire Emblem, like Fire Emblem based ones. So yeah, that was an interesting one to see people's reactions for. And the big announcement landed on, which for me wasn't massive, but I know, especially in the States, this game is quite rare, so a lot of people didn't get the chance to play it when it first came out, because it came out towards the end of the Wii's life cycle. But it's a definitive edition of Xenoblade Chronicles. Monolith Soft are developing or like remaking the game. It looks beautiful, but because I had Xenoblade Chronicles on the Wii, it wasn't quite so hard to get hold of in the UK. Yeah, for me it wasn't such a big deal, but I know a lot of American streamers and reactors were really, really happy to see it coming, because they've not really had a chance to play the game or get into it properly. So yeah, to see the definitive edition come to the Switch would be interesting. Real item trend on something a bit bigger, I think. The main takeaway for me was that Smash Brothers, they're doing a lot more content. No more game modes, I think, but they've got a lot more characters in the pipeline, because they announced Terry Bogard from Fatal Fury and King of Fighters by SNK to be the fourth DLC character. And then they made the announcement that it's not just going to be the five, they are going to do more additional ones afterwards. No news on whether this will be another Fighters Pass or whether it will just be as and when, so not locked down to a certain number of characters to make. Yeah, that's my main takeaway. I have got a reaction video on YouTube for it, so yeah, you can join me and Matt watching the direct. There's lots of small little games, tons of shadow drops, but yeah, it was a decent direct, but it wasn't mind blowing. So yeah, it's a bit different. Next bit of news. PlayStation UK seem to have been sending people into a bit of a almost mini meltdown with the revelation of what they call the bottom input button on the PlayStation controller. Yeah, it's one that's shaped like a cross, but those people call it X. The PlayStation UK officially said it was cross, and it took people off guard. I say, I don't know why, but for me, it always stuck in my head as cross. Don't know, many, many years ago, they had a PlayStation advertising campaign. It was, the shape was said was triangle, circle, cross and square. But in my mind, I've always known it as cross, so okay, I might call it X occasionally, but yeah, I wasn't surprised to hear the cross name for it, but a lot of people were taken by surprise with that. Yeah, it's quite interesting to see how much it's blown up on Twitter, and like the amount of polls that say always X is X, but X isn't a shape, X is a letter, so yeah, I think a lot of people have found out this is not what I thought. It's been quite funny seeing reactions, to be fair. It's pretty cool. But yeah, that is the PlayStation news. Not much else news-wise, I don't think. Tokyo Game Show is kicking off like pretty much today and tomorrow from the time of recording, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of stuff comes out of there. Capcom's part of the rumors that they're doing like a remasters segment, so it'll be interesting to see what kind of games they're redoing. A lot of people say there's potential for Resident Evil 3 remake to be announced there, which would be interesting to see. I think given how Resident Evil 2 did, I think it's a bit of a given, so So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what comes out of Tokyo Game Show this weekend. And also Nintendo are announcing a mystery project today. They showed off this weird teaser trailer, which is basically like this grey plastic ring that you connect your Joy-Con to, and there's a little strap that goes around your leg or your arm. So it looks like it could be another fitness thing. Don't know whether to stay with the Wii Fit brand or whether they'll switch up, or pun intended, but they'll, they could be doing something different with the fitness genre. A lot of people say, a lot of like rumours going around that it's going to be quite inventive, quite new. It's definitely a new IP, so yeah, I'd be intrigued to see what Nintendo are off that today with that. But yeah, that's the news for now, and I shall leave you in Matt's capable hands for the rest of the show. Enjoy until next week, or next episode. Thanks, bye.
Right, so yeah, I'm going to talk about Gears of War 5, or Gears 5, but I'm not the best qualified to talk about it. So, as I promised on the gaming podcast a few weeks back, while he did the tech test review, my nephew Ben joins me for this part of the show, because there's nobody I know who loves Gears of War, who's played Gears of War more than he has. I don't care what chat anyone else says. Welcome aboard, Ben.
All right, mate.
Good to have you back on the show.
Thanks, mate.
Right. Now, first of all, you played the tech test, didn't you? And we'll get to the comparison between that and the main game later. But going straight in, and we will say from ahead, spoilers will be ahead in this show. So if you don't want any spoilers, then please do not listen to the rest of this podcast until you have played the rest of the story. Otherwise, continue at your own peril. Right. So the main story itself, Ben, where did it pick up after the Gears of War 4, of course?
So Gears of War 4, at the end, you find out that Reyna is connected to the Hive, who's the mother of it, and Kate finds out that her mother had the Locust Symbol necklace, and obviously through the trailers of Gears 5, it shows Kate having weird symptoms with regards to the Locust Symbol necklace. So it pretty much carries on from there, starts them off in pretty much like a massive fight scene. And that's pretty much where it picks up from, as soon as they destroy the main Hive. And obviously Kate killed Reyna.
Mm.
It picked up from there.
Okay, cool. This game itself, though, is a lot more open world, isn't it? It has those elements to it. So I remember playing as Jack with you on co-op, which means I got to do nothing, basically, because Jack doesn't do anything. Apart from
he's helpful,
yes, but he's nothing compared to what you and your mate Michael were doing, of course.
No.
Which was killing every single locust in sight.
Yeah, I mean, the first chapter, well, first act, sorry, because there's four acts in total.
Sure.
The first act, you have to do strictly, obviously, like most Gears games, you can explore certain areas before going ahead to collect certain collectibles as such. But then the second and third act, is all open world planned. You get the set stuff, and you also find side quests, which another cool thing about the open world stuff is there's legendary guns that you can find. You don't get to keep them, unfortunately, like in throughout the rest of the campaign, but only during Act 2. You can find relic weapons which have certain ability. Like, I know your favourite weapon, for instance, is the boom shot.
I do like a bit of boom boom, but I've also got a bit of affection now for the long shot, I've got to admit.
Well, you've seen me with the long shot, so...
Yeah, I have.
But, yeah, so, obviously, regarding your favourite weapon, they're called relics, if you find them, they're legendary stuff, so it's like boom shot, relic, long shot, relic, etc. But... for instance, your special ability on the Boomshot Relic is rather than shoot one bullet to reload, it shoots three at a time and then reload. So it just has kind of small but massive impact tweaks as well.
That's good. Okay, cool.
So that's a pretty cool thing regarding to the campaign. Obviously, like I said, the Act 2 and 3 is open world, but the other ones are not.
Because it's set in a different part of the world from where it's been been before, hasn't it?
It's
really?
It started off from... it started off where you start off the Gears 5 campaign where you kill Queen Mira in Gears 3. I cannot remember specifically the place, but you start off there.
Oh, God, it's going to come... I remember the place,
yeah. It'll end up coming to me eventually.
I remember the place, yeah.
But, yeah. But that's pretty much the campaign-ish, obviously. It's more open world, more longer.
But you also revisit a lot of places, don't you, as well?
You visit a lot of old places throughout the Gears franchise. It's all into one.
I do
Gears
remember... It's a bit of Metal Gear Solid 4 in a way, because you went back in that game. I know you didn't play that game, but you went back to Shadow Bridge Island in that game, which was the scene of the first game.
Yeah.
And it, obviously, it's in beautiful HD. Now, grant you, it was not bad quality on Gears of War 2.
No, the Gears franchise, even the first one, 2006 Gears of War,
still holds up.
That was the best graphics for its time.
It was great, absolutely great, yeah. But it was nice to go back to it in HD. Now, I remember playing that part with you and your friend Michael when you're doing the when you went back to that facility with Niles the AI. And I remember how much
revisited you Gears 2's the facility before you head down into the actual Locust hideout itself.
Yeah, I remember how much. I mean, we've been replaying the series, obviously, ourselves. Yeah. And it was nice because we just recently played it, so it was still fresh in my mind. But the way you guys were acting, it was really creepy and freaky for you guys. And
well, yeah,
but
you
liked it that
way. Imagine, obviously, Gears of War 1, 2006, I was 6. Mm. So, Gears of War 2, 2008 to early 2009, revisiting that facility from where Sire's... were the scariest thing, you know, them things back then, they just smash through the glass and scream at you.
I remember.
Gears 5, however, they latch onto you, and if you don't break free in time, they rip your f***ing head off.
Okay.
So, there's a lot more changes, but at the same time, it's nice to see many places that you fought were completely killed off in the game be brought back and slightly tweaked.
Fair enough. So, the gameplay.
Yes.
The gameplay. You said when you were playing the tech test that it was, and I quote you here, as smooth as a baby's bottom.
Yep.
Is it still the case?
Gameplay-wise, 60 frames per second, 9 times out of 10, constantly. However, obviously, No, it's only recently come out. Obviously, I've got the Ultimate Edition, so I got it early.
Mm.
See, so it's only come out... Today's 13th, so 3 days ago.
Yeah, I've been recording, yes.
Yeah, so... That only came out 3 days ago. And regarding that, certain things you play, like Escape Mode, as I still stand correct, gameplay, smooth as a baby's bottom.
Mm-hmm.
But regarding party-wise, they need to fix that quickly.
Because there's been a lot of network issues. It's been all over Twitter and Facebook and
I mean, it was Reddit. A pain in the arse for me because me and Michael would play Horde mode, get to wave 50, and then one of us would be kicked for no apparent reason because of their connection. And granted, me and Michael have sweat that game out. Like, I've re-upped 4 times and... You know, it's only been out a week.
Yeah.
But I've never been able to complete Horde mode because of their server issues. Mm. So that's a massive pain in the arse for that. But regarding to movements, like the graphics, 9 out of 10.
Have you?
10 out of 10.
Cool. Have you adapted to the whole RB thing for your...
I mean, that's something I kind of addressed through the beta test of it. It still pisses me off about my... Sorry about the language, but...
At this point, I've already bleeped out enough, so carry on.
It already... It does vex me madly, only because if you're a Gears fan such as me, Gears 1, 2, 3, Ultimate Edition, Chainsaw's B. Like, there's no coming. You can at me or whatever. Chainsaw is B. Like, even spamming, B.
Absolutely. No, I'm not going to argue that one. It's definitely the case.
Gears 4, Chainsaw, B. Gears 5 will make it easier for players. So what we'll do is, you hold Chainsaw with RB, and then if you get into a chainsaw battle, you rapidly press B.
That makes it harder.
Exactly. So you want to rev your chainsaw by holding RB, but then if you get into a chainsaw battle, you have to quickly flip and spam B.
Stupid. Doesn't work.
Exactly.
But they made, do they know patch that, or do they leave it is now?
I mean, me and Michael went through every single controller setting, even classic controller settings. Chainsaw was still RB.
That... You should be able to change it back to how you want it. You should be allowed to try.
Well, they should make it a custom. They should bring out a custom controller set to how you want it. Which I think would better the gameplay for most Gears of War.
You can get that on most games now, to be fair. You can customise your controller yourself. I mean, no, you don't play them, but FIFA and F1, both games, I have a custom setup.
Even Sea of Thieves as well, it has their own custom setup.
Oh, does now?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Sea of Thieves, if you use either PC or obviously Xbox,
PC, of course, yeah.
You can use any button you want and tweak it. So you could literally change sprint to holding RT, for instance. Like, you can change any button to
weird,
what you
want. Yeah. That's good. That's something they definitely need to address if it's upsetting you that much.
It's not so much upsetting me. It's just the simple fact...
Made you swear 3 times.
Well, yeah. But... Coming from them games, like, just say for instance, you play all the Gears of Wars, you've never played Gears 5, you buy it, you play it, you play Versus for instance, and someone challenges you to a 1v1 chainsaw, you're instantly buggered, because you're going to automatically think, oh shite, I need to hold B, you go in, and you get your head cut off, because... The buttons are not the same.
Good point. If you hadn't told me that, I would have even thought to use RB first.
Yeah, like it's a pain.
Because whether people want to admit it or not, no one reads the manuals anymore. Whether they're online, if on the options menu, or actually one in the box still, if you usually get a physical copy. It's no one reads the manuals anymore. I mean, I still like reading manuals.
I mean, granted, for someone like me, obviously, I don't need... It sounds cocky of me. I don't need the manual, but Gears 5, I still went through the boot camp just to see if there's anything that was tweaked. The first thing I realised as soon as I had the Lancer was Chainsaw. Two completely different buttons. If you don't go through the boot camp, you're screwed.
It's not good. That's not good. So they need to work on that, then.
They
definitely
do need to work on at least either customizable controller settings or just have a retro Gears settings for players who are used to the old buttons.
Yeah. I do know, going back briefly to the network issues that people have been having, I know they were more prominent before the official release date of Tuesday has gone. Which, can you let them off for that? Because it's between the pre-launch and that. Can you let them off for that? Because if a game is ready for launch 4 days early, it should be finished. It should have connection issues like that. Because you mentioned...
They should have more network...
Because
such NAT types open.
Because you mentioned all this on a tech test, of course, didn't you? About that it took forever to connect.
Yeah, one time I waited 2 hours just to play a 10-minute match.
But you did also say you hoped it was just that. that the speed has increased.
Oh, the speed has increased to like 1 to 2 minutes.
Mm. But if it's kicking you out of game, that's not obviously not good.
No, especially if you're focused on completing the horde mode, such like me and Michael playing.
Mm.
Or for instance, when he or it we was either you anyway. Or Michael who got kicked out when we was doing the campaign level. It was Michael actually, yeah.
Mm.
He got kicked out of and a campaign mission.
He had to reset his Xbox Live, didn't he, I think, as well?
Reset his Xbox Live, the hub, and his Xbox.
That's...
And it didn't sort it at all.
That is catastrophic.
And Michael still, obviously granted it's only been out a week, he still hasn't been able to do that mission because every time we do it, we get to literally the last bit and it kicks it due to network failure.
Well, hopefully they will fix that rather quickly.
I hope so.
Anything that stood out as a happy surprise?
Clayton Carmine.
Yes. I do remember playing a bit of it with you of the story mode. I dipped it out in and out of the story mode, obviously, because you weren't going to wait for me, and that's fine.
Nope.
And that's fine. But seeing Clayton Carmine, I was like, yeah, because he's... the only one that never died, isn't he?
He's the only one in the Carmines that didn't die, yeah. Because originally, it was Benjamin who said in Gears of War 2, don't quote me on this because I can't exactly remember, but he said something along the lines of he has four brothers and he knows one of them's dead, which was Anthony, who literally, first chapter, first level, shot with a long shot straight through the neck and died. So that's how Anthony died. Benjamin, Riftworm, Chapter 3, Gears of War 2.
A true hero.
Eaten alive by polyps.
Not great.
See, Clayton survived Gears 2. Obviously, you see him have many encounters of near deaths. But that's
everyone always thought, this is his time, you're going to go now. No.
One thing I remember is there was that debate 2010 on the Microsoft store for the 360. You could get T-shirts for 59p at the time, whether it was Save Clayton or Kill Clayton.
That's the Avatar, I'm guessing.
Yeah, like Avatar Custom.
Yeah.
By that time, that was the poll. Obviously, people saved Clayton, but at the price, Dom died. And then, obviously, Gears of War 4, Gary Carmine came into it. Two chapters later, he died. So, the only true Carmine that has fully survived most of Gears is Clayton.
It's always Gears 6, if it ever happens.
I mean, it will happen. It's not a won't, it will happen.
Is it a money spinner, though? Is the storyline wrapped up enough for them to do it?
No.
So, there's still a question they need answering?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Because the worst thing is when you can tie up a game so perfectly and then make a sequel on top of that and like, then you do it.
Mm.
Worst thing they can do.
Yeah.
There are games like that, I'm struggling to think one off the top of my head though. But it's...
God of War.
Hmm.
Was one for me.
God of War 4, for lack of a better term, from 2018. That was a really good game.
Yeah, but that wasn't a... Like, obviously, they had the gear, God of War 1, 2, 3, that had God of War. And then they obviously had Ascension. They didn't really need Ascension, to be honest.
I'll give you that.
But they still did it.
Yeah. As long as they don't purely do it to churn it out for more.
I mean, they did, granted.
We don't want...
They did leave it on a good cliffhanger.
That's fine. That's fine, because, I mean, you think about all the Gears games have done. They've structured them perfectly. I know you were massively happy with the Gears 4 storyline, because it was shorter than you expected.
It wasn't so much shorter, but Gears 5 wrapped up why the Swarm came into Gears of War 4.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, throughout Gears of War 4, it went completely off topic. Like, who the hell is the Swarm? Why are they here? What do they want? And there were so many questions for so many fans, including myself, unanswered.
Mm, but you also got the story of where the Locusts came from.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Visiting Niles' facility.
We will say that even with all the spoilers, we will not reveal in this podcast the actual reason of how Locus came to be, you guys will have to play the game to find that one out. Yeah,
that bit is...
It's a game changer, isn't it, when you think about it that way, doesn't it? Was that the biggest shock you've had this year?
Huh?
Was that the biggest shock you've had this year in gaming?
No.
What's for me? Biggest shock it was.
I mean, I kind of knew they... I can't even say, because obviously they've got to play the game.
Yeah.
But I kind of knew why, because they did talk
they alluded as if to it.
They were. Kind of.
They've alluded to it in the past, yeah. Sort of thing. Okay.
There were not so much leaks... But there was parts in the game where you were like, okay, I can see that in him and so on. And you can kind of, if you play and complete Act 2, the end bit, you find out the reason how the Locust was born, how Mira became queen, and how and who her parents were.
So that's a lot of backstory fitting into this, and obviously
as you find out as well of who Rayna's parents is and who Kate's parent and grandmother is.
That's quite deep as well, and then obviously you've got all of the, you can cherry pick all of the, things when you're picking up obviously the documents and things. Yeah,
the collectibles tell you a bit of the story as well.
Because. Back in the old days, the only time you actually got any
cog tags,
decent backstory, was picking that stuff up before.
Mm.
But now, of course, you've got so much better cinematics and everything.
Oh, yeah.
And some of these look amazing. What's the replayability like, though? Is it a game that you'll be happy to go back and play a story mode again now? Because we've played through all of the Gears series recently.
I mean, I've replayed the campaign twice to change the last option.
So there is an option change. We won't again reveal that one because that's quite a biggie. So you play it through twice. How long would you say till you play again that story mode?
Whenever I have three people, so including myself.
Mm. So it's a game you could happily go back and play again.
Yeah, I mean, if someone wants to be Jack, because I'm not giving up my zombie killing, / alien killing as such, but yeah.
That's a totally fair and legit thing to say, definitely. So, your playability is good. You haven't done much versus, but you have done escape mode, as you say.
Yep.
Do you want to elaborate on what escape mode is quickly for people who haven't played the game?
So, when you load up escape mode, it's pretty much a thing where you have... I call it an atom bomb. I ain't got a clue what it is, but you and whoever you play with put this type of toxic atom bomb, place it in the main hive, and it causes all the swarm, locust, and everything in there to die. Mm. But as soon as you get in there, you have 60 seconds to loot, and then the bomb goes off, and you have a certain amount of ammo and weaponry that you can have, and obviously you've got to pick wisely with your character and your weapon choose out as well, because to find ammo is hard. It is, but obviously clues in the name, the main goal is to escape.
Of course.
It is. You just nuke the hive and try and get out. That's literally all escape is. It's good. It's like a fun little mini game as such, because it don't last that long.
Is it something that they needed to put in, or is it just like a fun little nod?
I'd say it's more of a fun little nod. I mean, if they brought out Beast Mode brought Beast Mode back from Gears of War 3 and brought that into Gears of War 5.
I love playing that. Changed
the enemies that you could be, I reckon.
I don't know, there were some pretty good ones, didn't there?
I mean, the Berserker, for instance.
I think Scythe was anything that weren't you couldn't be at, was it?
No, I mean, off the top of my head, you have a Ticker, the top row you had a Ticker, a Wild Ticker, a Savage Drone, and a Butcher. Then the second one you had a Blood Mount, a Cantus, and a Mauler. Then you had a Savage Drone, a Theron Guard, a Giant Cerapede, and a Corpser. And then the last one, you had a Berserker and a Savage Boomer. So, they had a pretty wide selection, but obviously certain characters you couldn't beat.
For the record, Ben just did that all from memory without even needing any notes or anything. That's how much he loves that game mode. He knows it off by heart. Yeah,
it's a sick game.
He knows it off by heart. I love it myself. Happy going back and playing it myself. So, if you were to score the various sections out of 10, the actual gameplay itself, and not about networking.
Is 1 being the best and 10 being the worst?
No, 10 being, 10 being the best.
So, gameplay, you said?
Yeah. As in like, smoothness of it, that sort of thing. You've always said it's pretty high.
I'll give it a solid 8.
A solid 8? Okay.
There's room for improvement.
Room for improvement, but you always want that if you're going to do a sequel. Okay. The story itself? Without reading too much more about it?
Various parts, very sad, but a 9.
A 9. So it's a strong story.
Oh, it's a strong 9, yeah.
Strong 9, that's good. Good. Multiplayer modes, replayability for that, it gets your attention.
Versus, not so much. But classic modes are Horde mode, and obviously the new mode, Escape.
Mm.
I'd say about 7.5.
7.5, okay, that's good. Overall enjoyment of the game, though, is it affected by the network issues that you've had, though?
I mean,
because I know how much that frustrated you, but has it stopped you wanting to go and play the game?
Oh, no. It's not stopped me from playing the game at all.
Okay, so despite the network, then give your overall score for the game.
For the game?
Mm-hmm. This is a percentage out of 100.
Out of 100, I'd say out of 100 with gameplay, graphics, smoothness, and
the factoring in network and everything, yeah.
And that, give it about 86, 87.
So that's a pretty strong, so you're pretty happy.
I'm very happy with the game. It's just, if they sorted their networks out, it'd be about 95.
Okay, good. Nice one, Ben. Thank you very much for your insight. And we'll have you back again soon. Thank you very much.
No worries, mate.
Okay, thanks.
So yeah, guys, thanks for very much listening to me and Ben talk about Gears of War 5. Chris will be back in 2 weeks. Hopefully I did his show justice. I don't want to cover another of his shows, but he deserved a week off. So, yeah. Me and Alex will be back here next week, with the gaming podcast itself. Thank you very much for listening, and as Chris would say, see ya.
Podcast is a Matt Attack production for the Visionaries Wrestling Network.